Please turn. Do you have a Bible? Matthew chapter 28 and verses 1 through 7. Some of you don't know, this is our second worship service of the weekend. We had an awesome worship service yesterday with our presbytery, so about 130, I think, were here about the time at the beginning when we were having worship time and the band led them, and it was awesome. And they sang really well. We did songs they knew, just maybe not the way they traditionally sing them in their churches. And so when they got to the words they knew, they jumped right in, got the band charged up, and it was awesome. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." This is God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. We're talking about the resurrection. I know that seems a little odd. You're supposed to talk about that on Easter, which is coming up in April, and we will. But for Christians, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. It's Resurrection Day, and we celebrate it every Sunday. So we're doing it at this point because that's where it comes in the Apostles' Creed, which we're looking at, taking a closer look. And today we look at the line where he was resurrected, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits on the right hand of God the Father. But I also know Valentine's Day is coming up. And a young man went into a Hallmark store to buy a Valentine. And so he talked to the clerk. He wasn't too sure what kind of Valentine he wanted to get. And so the clerk showed him and said, "Here's a nice big white one with big red hearts on it. And $4.99 said Hallmark." So, you know, he knew when you care to send the very best. And it has a big number, then that's impressive. And so And inside, he opened it up, and the card said, "To the only girl I've ever loved." And the young man said, "That's perfect. I'll take four." Yeah. God wants our undivided devotion, doesn't he? And God wants our trust, our undivided trust. And so each week, as we're looking at the Apostles' Creed, we're saying again, "Lord, I believe. I believe in you." And so we've kind of divided it into triplets so far. It's very memorizable. How are you doing with memorizing this? Are you taking the challenge? It's going to take homework. So write these things down. I think it's in the back of the bulletin. We'll have a test at the end. But right now, it's just read along or recite it if you're able to. And let's say it together slowly, at least as far as what we've gotten in our study. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And then today we're looking at the next line. Next slide. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And so that's where we'll stop. And those are the lines we'll look at today. Notice it says God the Father again. And it doesn't stop. It says God the Father Almighty. So whenever you say God the Father, just remember, add Almighty to it. And we can memorize this, and I think it'll stick with us and hopefully has greater meaning for those who have memorized it. One person told me He said, I've said the Apostles' Creed every Sunday, or just about every Sunday, all my life, and never realized it's divided into the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know questions come up, too. What does it mean he descended into hell? So we talked about that last week. What does it mean that he ascended into heaven? Sometimes the words weren't intended to mean what we take them to mean. And so it's worth taking the time to look over them a little more carefully. So we'll start with this line, the third day he rose again from the dead. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 28. If you want to know the story of how Jesus was raised from death to life, look at the Gospels. We just read Matthew 28, 1 through 7. Look at Luke, Mark, and John. But if you want to know what does it mean for us today that Jesus is resurrected, look at the epistles of Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter. So it says he was raised on the third day, and then note all the witnesses. He appeared to Peter, and then he appeared to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, and though some have fallen asleep, meaning they've died. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. And so Paul makes the point. This is something that really happened. This really happened. Note all the witnesses. Jesus appeared to all these people. Some question, how is it that it was 3 days? Jesus' body, well, he died on Good Friday, we believe. And we remember Good Friday as the day Jesus died and have Good Friday worship services. And then Saturday, Friday he was taken down and put in the tomb. Saturday, Sabbath, day of rest. And so nothing happened on Sabbath. And then on Sunday, the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. But if you take it by hours, which sometimes we do, we say, well, that's not a full day. Well, the Jews counted partial days as days. So Jesus was dead on Friday, he was dead on Saturday, he was dead on Sunday, even if he wasn't dead for the entire days. Sort of if you go on an 8-day cruise and you leave late on Monday and return the following Monday morning, that's an 8-day cruise, right? Although if you're like me, I'm adding up the hours and I'm saying, whoa, I got ripped off an hour or a day. And but that's how the Jews counted their hours. And so on the third day, it says he rose again from the dead. We talked a little bit about the swoon theory, the theory that actually started around the 19th century, time of skepticism by H.E.G. Paulus in 1828. And he wrote that in first century Palestine, it was quite common for people to be buried when they weren't actually dead. Didn't know that. But. Which would explain the short lifespans, wouldn't it? I mean, if they'd waited till people died, then they'd have a chance to live to 70. And this is exactly what happened with Jesus, he writes. And he fainted on the cross, and Jesus' body was then taken to a grave, and the smell of the spices in which he was wrapped and the coolness of the tomb combined to revive him. These disciples, of course, being unsophisticated and backward peasants, thought that he was risen from the dead when really he never died in the first place. Talked a little bit about that last time, but this theory is so ridiculous. You'd think it would have died in 1828 too, and yet it continues. This theory has more resurrections than Easters in churches, and so it keeps taking new forms. But you know, unsophisticated and backward, I kind of take that personally because I grew up in the country through sixth grade, and out in the country in North Carolina, we thought people that lived in the cities, we thought they were dumb. We called them city slickers, and we thought they don't really have any common sense about the things of life. For example, animals. And we have so many animals running around our property, and so many that got hit by cars. And I came at an early age to understand the difference between dead and alive. When my dad came home and brought our dog Tiger and picked him up in a box out of the trunk, and his body didn't move and it was stiff and there was blood coming from his mouth, and we knew he was dead. And I was only 7 or 8 years old at the time, and I figured that out. So I think country people would listen to this theory from H.E.G. Paulus and say, "These city slickers, you can't get stupider than that. Even a caveman knows the difference between death and life." And I know, you know, a lot of us in the city, the closest we get to death is on television, right? And so we know, you have to hook up a monitor and it goes boop, 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 boop. Okay, what happened? We know. Out in the country, and you know, even today, apart from TV, it's possible to tell. There's the vapor on the glass test. There's the pulse test. There's the body gets cold test. I'm telling you this because some of you are city slickers, and I know a lot of you have sheep and goats and cows out in the country, but there's the rigor mortis test. Their limbs don't move. I mean, you know. And just because these people lived before they had the little monitors that go boop, 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 to think that they couldn't tell when somebody was dead from crucifixion, especially, is just amazing. But, you know, if you really want to not believe in the resurrection, you'll find anything and any theory will do. We believe, and the Apostles' Creed says, he died. It really happened. And for emphasis, he was crucified, dead, buried. He descended into death. Or as we say, he descended into hell. It means he descended into death. He died, he died, he died, he died, he died. And then he was resurrected from death to life. I don't tell many mother-in-law jokes because I have a great mother-in-law. So I don't really get why they're funny. But I'll just, like this one. Definition of mixed emotions: your mother-in-law drives over a cliff in your new sports car. I don't get that. Some of you do. And this one, a man went to the Holy Land with his family, and during the tour, his mother-in-law became very sick, and she passed away. She died. And so he was told, you can bury your mother-in-law here, or you can ship her back home to Kansas and bury her there. And he said, if you bury her here, this is how much it's going to cost. But if you ship her back home to Kansas, it's going to be about 3 times as much money. Well, this guy was cheap. And so he thought about it, and he said, I'm going to have to get back to you. And so he thought about it, and he got back to the people at the funeral home, and he said, you know what, I'm going to have her shipped back to Kansas. And the funeral home director says, well, you understand, it's going to cost 3 times as much. That's a lot of money. And he says, that's what I want to do. He says, I heard about a man who died here in the Holy Land, and he was crucified and dead, and then he rose from death to life. And he said, with my mother-in-law, I just can't take that chance. So I only say that because I think some of you must have a bad relationship with your mother-in-law, and mine is not here today, this morning. Well, Joel Osteen said that. How bad can it be? So, just don't write notes yet to me. Well, the Creed is emphasizing he was dead. And he really did rise up from the dead. And Paul says he was seen by Peter. He was seen by all the disciples, no exceptions, by all the apostles. He was seen by 500 people. Many are still alive. You can ask them. He was seen. He rose up. And so, we believe Jesus was resurrected from death to life. Secondly, what we're looking at today, the Apostles' Creed says he ascended into heaven. And it says in Acts chapter 1, another story of Jesus and his last words to the disciples, where he said, go and make disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole, all parts of the earth. And that, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And so what does that mean? We rely on artists. There's not a lot that's said here. What we know is that after the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to people. And it's like he appeared and disappeared. He was with them. So it's not like he was there 40 days solid. But he made appearances to people during the 40 days following the resurrection. But then the ascension is when he made his last appearance. And he says he ascended. Literally, that means he went up. And so we have various artist pictures in mind, and some is like it's an elevator, shoom, up he goes, and in the heavens as if he's being pulled up and away. And it doesn't literally say that. It does say he went up, but then a cloud hid him from their sight. So in some way, he became fainter and fainter and fainter until they couldn't see him at all. And then we're told these words, "Now, be watching because he'll come back in the same way." So I don't know if we should always be looking straight up. But in some way, there will come a time when Jesus will return to the earth. And we'll be looking at that next week. And then closely aligned with that, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So where is Jesus now? Is Jesus dead? No, Jesus is alive. And he's with God the Father Almighty. And it says he's in heaven. Romans 8:34 says this, "Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. He is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us." So the right hand, no offense to those who are left-handed, but it symbolizes you just can't get closer. You can't get to a place more trust than being at the right hand of a ruler. God the Father and God the Son are together. In that place of trust, Jesus is right there in heaven with God. It says in Hebrews 7:25, "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us." So what is Jesus doing? In Romans and in Hebrews, it says Jesus is interceding for us. Jesus is praying for us. And so when we pray, and that may be why we say, "In Jesus' name we pray." It's part of the reason why. We pray that way because it's Jesus' death on the cross that gives us access to God. But also we know there is Jesus right up there. Some people don't pray God as in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." They pray to Jesus, and that's okay. God the Father and God the Son are right there together, and God the Holy Spirit enables us to pray. And that's why we can pray. It's the Trinity. You can't really divide them up. And so what does heaven mean? Jesus is with God the Father in heaven. Heaven can mean three things. Literally, most often in Bible days when they said the heavens, they were talking about the sky. We're here on earth and then here are the heavens. Like God created the heavens and the earth. And they're saying God created the earth that we walk around on, and he created the sky that we look up, everything we see, the stars, sun, moon, all that, those are the heavens. So literally, that's what the Greek word uranos means, the heavens. But it can also taken to mean the endless, self-sustaining life of God. And in this sense, it means God always dwells in heaven. Wherever God is, that's where heaven is. And so it's the presence of God. And in that sense, you could say Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, wherever he was, heaven was there. You were in a good place. But what it most likely means here in this sense is the state of the angels or men and women, and as they share the life of God. So people who have gone before us, men, women, and didn't mean to leave out children, and all ages, people who have gone before us and the angels, they're present with God. And whether that's a foretaste of the fullness that we'll experience later on or the actual fullness, that's what heaven is referring to. And so wherever it is that the angels are, those who've gone before us, God the Father is, God, that's where Jesus is, God the Son in heaven. probably not the ultimate heaven that we'll all experience when Jesus Christ comes to earth at the second coming, but a foretaste of that ultimate heaven that we're destined to as believers in Jesus Christ. So the Bible and the Creed proclaim that in the ascension, 40 days after Jesus' rising up from death to life, he ascended into heaven in that sense. And what is he doing? He's interceding for us. That's Jesus' main task. He also told us, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I go, you can go to, that you'll be with me. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And that's part of Jesus' intercession work too. To prepare a place for us, but also prepare us for that place through prayer. And so we can have the confidence to know that when we pray, Jesus, and do you ever think, I don't know really how to pray. I don't know the right words to pray. And I mess it up, and I probably pray for the wrong things. Not to worry. Jesus is up there correcting everything. God, what he really means is, don't smite that person he wanted you to smite. But Lord, your will be done. And help these people come into conformity with your will. Jesus is interceding for us. So what difference does it make that Jesus rose again from death to life, that he went up into heaven, and that he sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us? If there is no resurrection of Jesus from the dead, Paul says we might as well pack it up. We have no hope of our own resurrection. We'll die and that's the end, and what more can you expect? There's no sense being in the church if there's no resurrection. Without the resurrection of Christ, Jesus' teachings amount to no more than tip of the day type stuff. Without the resurrection, going to church together is a wonderful, quaint, and traditional practice. For many families, if you have nothing else to do, nothing better to do. Without the resurrection, the church cannot hold together. Without the resurrection, worship is nothing more than a weekly inspirational time and pep talk to go out into the week and be nice to one another. With the resurrection, worship is a joyful expression of thanksgiving and praise to God. Our prayer, we know, is received and translated and transferred to God the Father. Our prayers are heard. With the resurrection, there's every reason to go out and live in obedience to Jesus Christ, as Jesus taught, and as is taught throughout the Old and the New Testament. We have every reason to. When we come together for these times of teaching, we see it as being prepared in some way for heaven. As Jesus is preparing a place for us, we are being prepared to be more suitable for our heavenly home, and it makes all the difference in the world. And so together, let's say the Apostles' Creed. Would you stand with me if you believe that Jesus is alive today, that he's interceding at the right hand of God the Father for you and me? Let's say these words with confidence. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue. What's next?